Coming up on TMS, get your second jab, then lick a toilet.
Standard Ask Borg.
Squeeze out a few chits.
I don't like NFTs.
Greg is off limits.
Too many Shia LaBeoufs.
Virtual bovine lactation.
Arbor Day turkey.
To catch a COVID variant.
We named the cat Ripley.
You can own Utah Connection.
Butt cheeks 6 inches off the ground with Bill.
Filling Brian's game hole.
Going mile high with Steven and more on this PG-rated episode of The Morning Stream.
You must recover all the energy immediately, Mega Man.
But where is Dr. Wily?
That's a good question. We may be able to locate another energy emission from the radar room. When we find that meteor, we'll find Dr. Wily.
We did it! We deactivated the bomb!
This is The Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered. The Morning
Stream. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, April 5th, 2021. Feels That's like right. The whole first part of April's already gone because it was a weekend. You know what I mean? Because normally it'd be like,
instead of looking at how much of April's gone, let's look at how much is left.
Yeah, but it's gone so fast. Look at that. 5 days burned like a thermite explosion. Gone. Out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man.
I feel like we just had March, but I guess that's just
the way it is. Less than five days ago we had March.
Yeah, we did have March. But now we have April. So welcome, everybody. Happy post-Easter. Hope your Easter was good. Ours was all right. We had a big brined turkey.
Oh, cool. The turkey on Easter.
Yeah, Kim made a turkey. Yum. It was very good. Usually the Easter ham is
I'm
a
all
common
for
thing,
that.
But it was very good. Turkey all year, Brian. Anytime
right.
you got
I
an
mean,
event.
Every holiday should be turkey.
Yep, I agree. And right now.
The old Arbor Day turkey. Time for a little Arbor Day turkey celebration.
Yeah, there's a whole turkey in the fridge, which means, or not a whole turkey, like a half a turkey. Which means yep. I get all sorts of sandwichy things all week and, you know, turkey whenever I want it. It feels like Thanksgiving, honestly,
yeah,
in the house.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
We went over to Tina's parents' house and had ham and basically 3.5 of us vaccinated. I'm the half.
Oh,
everybody
you're
else
the half?
has had both shots and it's been over 2 weeks for all three of them. So I was the weakest link, basically.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if anyone's getting it. It's you.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh.
I don't know what, you know, the after one shot, I know you got your shot, second shot coming up here, but I don't know what the what your percentage is or any of that stuff after the first shot.
So I read that. Oh, I read up on this. The Pfizer is at like 54% or something.
Okay.
So not great, but okay. Mm-hmm. Better than zero.
Way better than zero.
The Moderna was something like 80, 85.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And... So that's the high one. And then Johnson & Johnson, I have no idea.
Well, Johnson & Johnson, you only get one shot, so it's...
Oh, yeah. So I don't know how that one worked. Like, I assume that thing is like right away, you're good. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, but, 2 weeks after they say, but yeah.
Yeah. So your Pfizer, which you and I got.
Mm-hmm. No, I had the Moderna.
Oh, you had Moderna. Then you're at 85. Well
Moderna.
Done. Yep. Yeah, if what I read is correct,
I'm gonna go lick a doorknob.
Yeah, you've got pretty good odds that you'll be okay
in a downtown 7-Eleven.
Yeah, so
I bet you I don't get COVID, but I bet that's not that's not the worst thing I get.
So I get my second on Friday, and a little nervous about it because I'd like to have FilmSack and TWBD go off without a hitch, and I'm a little concerned that's not going to happen. So. We'll see. Like, maybe we'll shift to Sunday or something, but nervous about that second one, man.
It's the afternoon you're getting it, right?
I think so. It's definitely...
It'll be after the instance or won't change.
Yeah. 12, 12:30, 1, something like that.
Oh, yeah, it should be all right.
Or it might be right during the instance, actually. I got to figure that out.
So TMS PM.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, usually like right after the shot, you're fine. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I suspect it would be like 6-7 hours before I start to feel anything rotten. So
that's right. Exactly. So we'll get the last vestiges of Scott upright and bright eyed and bushy tailed.
That's right. That's right.
Before his long decline into madness.
The other thing I didn't like reading this morning, I guess, is there's some variants that are getting kids now. And
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forgot the name of it, but it's some kind of variant that specifically goes after young folk, whereas this the current COVID mainstream virus doesn't seem to care as much about the youngs. And so that could be weird.
Golly.
Yeah, I got to figure that out.
It's like Borg shields. It's a constantly moving target, and we have to keep readjusting our phasers to be able to get through.
Oh, my gosh. I've been playing too much of that Star Trek game.
I haven't even started. All right, so tell me this. Is it just basically the, like, 3v3 or 5v5, just like that's the Marvel Strike Force, the Star Wars one, the DC one?
It's 100% that. What makes it different? So I'll say it's 90% that.
Okay.
The remaining 10%, which is microtransactions and cooldown timers and all that bullshit you have to deal with, took all that stuff's not in there. So it's just play the game. And so if you like those games but always hated the 50 currencies and, you know, best deal right now, $99 and get 4,200 coins or whatever, none of that's in there. So you're just playing the game. It also doesn't have, as far as I know, maybe it does later, but I'm not there yet, where it has any kind of autoplay feature. You just have to be strategic and play. That's so good. I like that.
Kind of like that, yep.
And it's really detailed, like animation-wise, character-wise, like there's a real quality of life improvement to just how it looks.
So the only way to get like rare and uncommon characters is to just hope you get them, right? Like you earn the shards or whatever it is to get them. And
right. You get these. So the concept is the Nexus is back. Remember from
That's the one that Shatner boinked into.
Yeah. The space ribbon. And the whole story is that Shatner's actually, somebody's got Kirk and you're trying to get him back. And you start out as Michael Burnham. You're in the Discovery time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. She's your first character that you get. She's pretty good actually. And then you get it caught into this whole Nexus business, and now suddenly it's a free for all from all the generations who gets to work together. So it's currently Michael Burnham. Worf is my tank. I have a Borg, just some standard ass Borg I've leveled up. Borg dude. And then who's my other person? Oh, Dr. McCoy. I have Leonard McCoy doing all my healing and stuff. And so you have this really weird mix of characters from different generations. And the initial stuff, you're going to have those same characters to start off with. Like the campaign, you know, is sort of storied around these first three people, at least. The Borg is different. But as you keep going, you start to unlock new ones. And they come pretty quick. Like, pretty fast and furious, you're getting new characters. And sometimes they're rare. I got a Riker, super rare.
I saw it on Twitter. You got a Riker, six in the morning or four in the morning or something.
Something like that, yeah. And it says,
by the way, the game Star Trek Legends, by the way. I know people in it, or we haven't said the name yet in the chat room. But,
Star Trek Legends, it's an Apple Arcade thing that just came out. Apple Arcade kind of out of nowhere on the second. The second put up like hundreds of new games. And some of them are brand new, like this one. A whole bunch of them, actually. And then there's a bunch of, like, remaster. Hey, remember Cut the Rope? We got a remastered Cut the Rope. And
yeah, Fruit Ninja remastered. I picked up Threes remastered.
Yeah.
There's really nothing remastered about it. It's not like, oh, better graphics on Threes.
No, but it basically fills your whole screen now where it used to have the old crop or whatever.
I'm fine with that, actually. I was like, all right, good. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and these were all apps that cost money before. Now they're just part of the service, so you just play them. But what I've always wanted, at least I think I've always wanted, one of these games where it's like 4-on-4, 5-on-5, whatever, turn-based, you know, RPG mechanics, level up your characters. Like, in theory, I'm all over that thing. In theory, I love it, but they're so mired in free-to-play garbage that it's always ruined it for me.
I mean the free-to-play microtransaction.
Crap. Yeah, that's what I mean. There's like anytime they're free-to-play, they're garbage because they have all that stuff in them. And I don't want that. I hate it. I hate that stuff. And it just ruins the entire experience. This thing is like a major brand, really polished, all the stuff you want on that side. And on the other side, none of the poop. So I got really hooked on it because nothing's standing in my way. It's just like play the game or don't play the game. You have a choice now. It's no longer play the game or spend money to extend timers or to have characters or buy packs or any of that. You don't do any of that. There's a store, but it's all in-game currency that you have to earn. So you can
Strike Force was like that. You could do a lot free to play. I mean, you'd still get the prompts every time you logged in, you get a little prompt that said, hey, if you want some such and such credits, you can, you know, pay this amount. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of free to play. I finally got out of it, wrestled it, like basically broke free of the game this last weekend. And it wasn't because of the game itself. Like, I was ready to leave this game in early March. But I was managing an alliance. Mm-hmm. And because there's all of this stuff that requires a 24-person team, you've got wars, you've got PvP, you've got raids that have to be completed, stuff like that. A, that felt like a job to me, and I was like really getting tired of that job. Yeah. So I quit. But me leaving meant that there was this, you know, big gap that needed to be filled. So we had to wait until there was another player that could come in there and fill that job. So they've been recruiting and trying to find someone who can step in and fill my spot while another player moved into the leadership role.
Wow.
And so, like, I was done with the game a month ago, but I couldn't leave the alliance until we had a replacement.
That's crazy. Well, I'm glad. So
you have the thought of, like, oh, good. So Star Trek is a game just like that? Great. I can. Great. All right. Cool. No, thanks.
I mean, if I were you, I would try to play. I'd play the casual part of it and do some contrast and compare. It could be fun just to see what the differences are.
Could be.
But I wouldn't aim for, like, ultimate, I want to run the alliance in this game or any of that.
Yeah. And I'm done with that kind of stuff. And like I said, the microtransactions of MSF didn't bother me at all. You could just ignore them, and you could still do really well in the game without that stuff. It was the fact that they just kept adding play modes to this thing. How about arena? And then we're going to have a war that happens three times a week, and this and that. And the problem is that's what they used to get you credits and bonus stuff. If you weren't paying for it, you earned it by doing all those things. So all of a sudden you logged in and you had to do basically 45 minutes worth of this and that and this and the other thing to be able to earn enough credits to do stuff without spending any money.
Did you ever spend any money in there? Any dollars?
Yeah, I did. Oh, I did. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Early on I did. Yeah. And over the course of the game, I spent some money, but this year, maybe $2.99 credit deals.
It's not bad.
Because it's like, I'm just getting tired of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it sounds like it was waning. So, yeah, I don't think you're going to get...
You played
that genre so hard that I think this may not be a thing for you. But for those of us who are always just sort of put off by the veneer of free-to-play and the veneer of freaking microtransaction bullshit... This is a nice escape from that. So worthy of your time, I think. But there's a ton in there.
I'll give it a shot. I'll install it. I'll try it out. And if it feels like, I feel like I'm cauterized to that sort of thing now. So it's like, as soon as I feel like, nope, this is starting to feel like work. Goodbye.
Yeah. See you later. There's so many new games in that lineup. We're probably going to have a lot of content for AppSlappy moving into the future, but we'll let you guys know.
Oh, yeah. Look. Right, exactly.
Now, I
did get a couple of new things from Apple Arcade with all the games they brought in.
I did as well, although I haven't had time to play anything else. It's just been like, I did play a little bit of that guy. There's a new game by the creator of the original Final Fantasy called Fantasia or some name like that. Hmm. What's cool about it, it's a turn-based JRPG. And again, because it's a straight-up premium game, there's no micro crap. It's just to play it, and it's full of story and all kind of. The original music composer for all the Final Fantasy music did the score and everything, so there's a lot of pedigree there. But what makes it unique is all of the backgrounds and all of the stages are actual hand-built dioramas, but then digitized and made 3D, so it looks like you're playing in somebody's homemade little
3D-printed. I remember we talked about a game that was similar to this, had more of a cartoony feel. I'm looking at this. Fantasian is the name of this game.
Fantasian, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, looks just amazing. But there was one that we talked about on AppSlappy feels like years ago, and it might have been years ago. Yes, Lumino City. Luminosity, but Lumino City was that same thing,
right,
where you had all these really cool platforms, all handmade. Oh, so, yeah, so
that
clever.
That stuff's awesome. Looks, and this looks really good. So far, seems pretty good, but man, if you don't like Final Fantasy and JRPGs, then don't play this, because this is exactly what that is, but it's got a good pedigree, so probably worth checking
out. I like that there's one screen on here that's just a pile of rocks, taking a photo with tilt shift with little people walking around it. It's like, all right, this is great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That'd be worth checking out. That thing's big, too. It's like 4 gigabytes. It's a big game.
Oh, wow.
A mobile game. But as usual, the other thing I really like is all of these are backed up and synced, and you can play them on your Mac or your Apple TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was playing the Star Trek thing on my Mac, and I'm only bugged that it doesn't let me do a windowed mode, which is really annoying. I want to have that off in the corner somewhere, just kind of going. Mm-hmm. But the other one does, the Fantasian one does let me just sort of have that up and going. So anyway, it's cool stuff. I know not everybody's in that ecosystem, so we won't bore your heads off with this stuff, but it's pretty neat. Now, maybe some of you are at home going, you know, Scott, what I'd really like is a physical game on my table that I can play with my friends and my family. Okay, maybe you're saying that. Brian, do you ever say that? Do you ever say?
I say that all the time. I say that weekly.
Okay, good.
Scott,
good.
Tell me you've got an answer for me, because I'm dying to find out if there's some solution to this problem.
Here's my solution to your problem and everyone's problem. Let's say you got a little family time or you got some friends over, whatever it is, and you want to play a quick, easy to learn, fun, competitive card game to up to 4 people. Good news. Today, I launch Rock Runners Incorporated, which you can get over at frogpants.com/rockrunner. Now, or Rock Runners. Wait, Rock Runners. Yes, I spelled it wrong. Not Rock Runner. Anyway, the Kickstarter happens today at 11 a.m. our time. So right after the show, basically, it will go live, and you can snag yourself a copy of this thing. The Kickstarter will run for 30 days. A ton of work has already been done on it. I've been picking at this for a couple of years now. And you'll even notice in the intro video, which is up, or is, I put out the video by itself today on the, what do you call it, the freaking newsletter. It lets you, that video will be weird because Van's like 3 months old in it.
I know. So, Van looks like he wants to eat that box.
He really wants to eat the box. We didn't let him eat the box, for the record. We didn't think that was good for an infant.
Yeah.
But that's how long ago I was filming that demo, and been working at it forever. I'm really proud of it. I did everything from design the game itself to all the artwork, the packaging, everything. The whole thing is a little bit nerve-wracking because I've never done this before, and I'm finally glad to bring some sunlight to it. Part of the reason I didn't put it out in 2020 is it just felt weird during a pandemic to try to do a Kickstarter. I don't know why. Just kind of threw me off for a while, but I feel pretty good about doing it now.
People trapped at home?
Oh, yeah, getting a game, yes, but like, launching a Kickstarter just felt weird. I don't know.
Oh, I see. With like, yeah, all right, I get it, like monetary struggles.
Yeah, or just feeling like, I don't know, like here I am with my hot new project, everybody. I know you're stuck at home and a bunch of you lost your jobs, and I just didn't want to be a dick. And it probably wouldn't have made me one. I had a weird feeling about it, but I don't feel that way now. Things are opening up. We got spring. It's, hopefully variants keep their distance and we all can move forward a little bit. As a result, you can get it today. So 11 o'clock today, head on over to frogpants.com/rockrunners. And there's a link right there to the Kickstarter. And like I said, a bunch of you who are signed up to the newsletter at frogpants.club, you already got it this morning, a link to it. So you're signed up to be notified when it goes live. That'll be today at 11. So watch for that. Very exciting.
Very cool.
Yeah. And all awesome. The rules will be there. You'll understand how it works, what it's based on. It's based on this ancient card game my parents taught me forever ago, and I took some of those ideas and built on those, and I don't know, very excited.
Sci-fi'd it up.
Yep. Speaking of which, you played a little Gloomhaven over the weekend.
I did, because we don't have a new card game to play. We played janky old Gloomhaven Jaws of the Lion. Mm-hmm. Jeez. And that thing that we were running into last week, I think I talked about this Monday morning last week, this session we had where we just couldn't complete a scenario.
Yeah.
We completed it this weekend, and it came right down to Tina being the last one standing. She's the healer, but she can do a little bit of damage. And basically, she was just kiting the last enemy all around the map. Just tink, 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 and then run. And then tink, 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 and then run. Basically, we're all dead watching and just helping her play her cards. It's cooperative, so we're kind of saying, all right, I think you want to do that and stun him and then hit him with that thing.
Yeah, you want to help each other in that case.
Worked out really well. So Gloomhaven Jocelyn, still loving that thing. And if you've picked it up and you're stuck on Scenario 4, which if you do a search online, at least Clark did a search online and found out that that is the most difficult scenario in the game. Of like a 15 scenario game, Scenario 4 is the beast.
I keep hearing that. It's like a steep curve up, right? Like
it is, but then 5 is kind of a lot easier. So
weird.
It's like a little mountain in the middle of a nice slow build.
Yeah. Well, I will. We will see what happens. I'm very excited about actually finally cracking that game open and playing it. So
yeah, you really should. I think Tina's having a great time. I think Kim would love it. So you know, her and the kids and.
Yeah, we got it. We may as well play it.
You've got it. Crack that box open. I know you've pushed all the pieces out. Attack and money pieces and stuff.
It's satisfying getting all your chits out. You know.
It is. Yes. Pop them chits out.
Yeah, pushing your chits out.
Squeeze out a couple chits and play the damn game.
That's what I say. All right. Dunaway's joining us.
Speaking of playing a game.
Yeah, we're gonna play a game today. Speaking of all these games, oh my gosh, it's all games all the time because we just like to entertain ourselves with games. And today's no different, so let's play this. Welcome to the show. One, Brian Dunaway, returning triumphantly after missing last Wednesday, which we missed you horribly. But, Brian, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, was it just one? Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi. Yeah, it was
one. Hi, Brian.
It was just
one. No, I missed two of them.
Did he? Wait.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
We had Randy in for one, and we had Tom in for the other.
Oh, it was previous week, though, not two in a row. That's what I was thinking. It was two in a row.
No, I wouldn't two in a row. No. Oh, my God. What am I?
I know.
You'd be the worst. A deadbeat?
If you miss two in a row, you're fired.
Yeah, what are you even doing if it's two in a row?
I'll never forget what you did to Daryl. I'm just kidding.
Oh, what did what we did to Daryl? You mean what Daryl?
Remember Daryl?
What Daryl did to himself? You mean like just pull himself out of the show?
Daryl didn't do anything. Daryl just ran into life, like so many podcasters and entertainers. You know, sometimes life comes at you.
It comes at you fast. Sometimes you just gotta look around and see what's up. Is that how the old phrase goes?
I'll tell you what, I'm reliable, man. I've been doing podcast with Scott and Brian for I don't know 15-16 years.
Yeah,
I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Look at you sitting
we
right here.
Get rid of you if we tried.
Yeah,
and you've tried.
Well, let's bring a caller in. I'm pretty sure we have one on the line. Although something's weird in here. Ooh, weird. Hear that? Wow. Hold on. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Kit London. How are you guys?
Hi, Kit.
Kit London.
That's really weird. Her. So there's this like ring waveform. You guys can't see this, but that normally is like nothing there, and for Kit, it's like pulsing, as if there's huge noise on your line. But you're not. You sound fine.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Today's
maybe
weird.
It's that hot new M1 Mac she's got.
Maybe that's it. Hey, Kit London. It's good to have you here. We always like playing with you. And boy, howdy, are you going to get some cool prizes today if you win? None of this is possible until Brian Ibbett has his chance to explain the damn game. Brian?
That's right. So, Kit, I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian a topic. They're going to go back and forth, giving me answers that fit that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Your job is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a physical prize package from Scott. This includes a Mad Max Fury Road figurine.
What?
A Frog
Pants. How are you separating with that?
I know. It's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Frog Pants print and sticker pack, as well as a pencil sketch from Scott. Not a photocopy, not a Xerox, not a mimeograph, but an actual pencil sketch from Scott.
That's right. By the way, so for those wondering why on earth I would ever give away a Mad Max Fury Road figurine, I have a whole stack of these. They're in a box. And it's a mystery as to which character you would get. So you don't know who it is till you open it. You could get a Morton Joe. You could get Max himself. You could get Furiosa, whatever. And I got a whole bunch of these.
What would be the one you wouldn't want? I mean, we all know what we want, but what would the thing would be like? Oh man,
probably the Gastown guy. He weird, huge feet and his nipples sticking out of his coat. That
and
guy sucks.
Nine out of ten of those are that guy.
Yeah,
right. He's the common. Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. It's funny you say that. I probably could find out what the commons versus the rares are, but
should usually says on the side of the box, like it says. Has a picture of one of the things and then says like 1 out of 6. And then the rare ones are like 1 out of 24.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I'm pretty sure that the Morton Joe's a harder one to get in general. Probably. So he may be one of the rare ones. But either way, really happy to send that and get you a nice physical set of prizes today. So that'll be fun.
Physical.
Very cool. Well, in order to get any of that awesome loot, you have to be able to predict how they're going to do on a topic. Today's topic comes to us from John Tweedy. John sent this one in, and I think it's going to be a really fun one. I've been trying to figure out the best way to do it, and I've narrowed it down to characters. So
I always get worried when Ibit goes, "This is going to be a fun one." Translation, you're going to suffer greatly.
It's going to be fun for me and the audience. All right. Over the course of 4 movies, not including the Versus Predator or Prometheus or the other ones, we've been introduced to a lot of characters in the Aliens movies, specifically the first 4 Alien movies. This comes up because, you know, last week we were talking a lot about Alien and Aliens and Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. Those specifically are the 4 movies I want you to focus on. I want you to name as many characters from those movies as you can. I'm going to help you out. You can't name the actual alien.
Oh.
So that one's off the table. That's so you can't say
what if he, alien. But what if he has a specific name?
They don't.
But you're only going with the first 4. Okay, never mind.
Like Greg or something?
What? Greg the alien?
Yeah. What if I'm on first name basis with a few of these?
No.
I mean, that would mean you had to name them then, is what you're saying. You named
That's
them
right.
names?
You'd have to name them, yes.
That's fantastic.
Fine.
Okay, later off air, you need to share with us the names you've given each of the aliens. That's great.
I've got Mr. Oogie.
So, naming characters from the Alien series, Kit, after hearing Scott and Brian talking about their comfortableness. With the topic, who do you think is going to do better at it, and who do you want to go first?
I'm picking Scott to win and Brian to go first.
Scott to win, baby.
Scott to win.
All right. That means you go first, Brian.
Is that what that means?
That is what that means.
Did I go first?
Yeah. When she says Brian goes first, that's usually what that means.
That's what it means.
Oh, okay. I was confused about that. So, okay. Yeah. So the first character you got to go with. Wait a minute. Let me make sure. I get a mulligan, right? In case I
get a mulligan.
All right, then I'm gonna go with Ripley because
old Ellen Ripley. And I'm also gonna Ellen Ripley, of course, Alien, Aliens, and Alien 3. Spoiler: she dies in Alien 3, but she comes back as Ellen as Ripley 8 in Resurrection. I'm taking that one off the board too, because come on now.
Yeah,
Ripley 8. Also, we named our cat Ripley, so that was.
Oh,
we
have a dog
named Indiana,
Ripley.
We named the cat Ripley.
We have a dog named Ripley now. All right, let's go with Hicks.
Hicks.
Corporal Hicks.
Yep, Dwayne Hicks, played by Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
Michael Biehn.
Only way to be safe is to nuke it from orbit, or whatever he says. Right. Yeah. I'm in the mood for aliens right now. Anyway, go ahead, Ryan.
You are weird.
Yeah, thanks.
You're... Straight. I mean, we're just sticking with the first 4, right? We're definitely not going.
Just the first 4.
All right,
no,
Newt.
No. All right, Newt. Good choice right there.
Just making sure.
Real name, Rebecca Jordan. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Didn't know that.
Played by Carrie Henn.
Yep.
Carrie Henn.
She kind of, I think she
appears
didn't do a lot.
Mostly in Aliens. Mostly.
Mostly, yeah.
Mostly.
Let's go over there to Hudson. Stow that shit, Hudson.
Game over, man. Hudson. Bill Paxton, of course, on that one. And, good old Hudson in Aliens.
Good old Hudson.
Good old Hudson.
Yep.
Hudson Hawk. I'm trying to remember what Scott said first now, because I'm... All right, I'm pretty sure he didn't say Dallas.
He did not say Dallas, played by Tom Skrit.
Skirt? Mr. Yeah. Skirt?
The first Alien movie?
Yeah, I have a hard time with the names of the original movie.
That's the one I've watched the most besides...
Really?
Besides Prometheus, shut up. I've watched it a million times. Shut up.
It's okay. I like Prometheus. No. I don't judge you for it. I like Prometheus in some ways. That's got some problems, but there's some cool stuff in Prometheus.
There is, yeah.
It gets way worse of a rap than it deserves. All right, I'm going to go with... the name just left. Oh, Vasquez.
Oh, dang it. That's what I wanted to go with
Vasquez.
Next.
Yep. Jeanette Goldstein.
Yep. She's what's his name? She's John Connor's stepmom in Terminator 2 as well.
Oh, she really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's cool. Cool actress.
All right. Vasquez. Vasquez. Yeah.
Vasquez.
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 All right. What do you got?
I'm gonna stay with the first Aliens, and Scott's really confused me because he's jumping all around, mostly in two, but
that's all I've done is two.
I'm gonna go with Kane.
Kane! John Hurt.
Mr. Hurt.
Oh. Yeah.
He of the chest burster.
It hurt.
Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah. That was a hell of a scene, still to this day, one of the great scenes ever made. We'll stick with three for now, or two, and well, we could do three, I suppose. Bishop. Bishop.
I thought you said Bishop.
No, nope. No Bishop.
Oh,
Bishop
crap. I'm really in trouble then.
Yes. All right.
Bishop's so
And I will take
Dang it,
Bishop.
Don't do it.
I'm taking Bishop
don't take it.
2.
It's off a different the, character.
Bishop takes Brian's saying Bishop takes Bishop. That's his chess move.
King takes Bishop off the board. So all the bishops are off.
Son of a butthole.
All your bishops Sorry. Belong to Brian.
Could totally use that one. Did we say? Yeah, I already said that one. I already said.
Did we say? Yeah.
Makes you
and we definitely
stage.
Can't name the aliens, and we can't go to Prometheus and name anybody there. Okay, fine.
Correct. Yeah, those are all the you same suck. Rules that I told you at the beginning, Stallboy.
I know. I'm stalling by repeating the rules. Stallboy. You know how we play this game.
Stallboy's a great name.
All right, then. Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure you didn't name any other things from the first one, but I'm going to go...
Yep, you are.
I'm going with Junior in part 3.
Junior. Yeah, okay. Junior. All right. Played by Holt McCallany, one of the prisoners goes by the name Junior.
Cuz I always think I always make note when they say Junior. It always annoys the
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you don't yeah. We never talked about this on Film Sec?
No. But
surely we've talked about my junior fetish.
I don't remember surely ever talking about your junior that. Your junior fetish.
Junior All right, fetish. All right, Mother, the ship.
Oh,
Mother.
That's a voice.
Yes.
Yes.
It is a voice, still a character, performed by Helen Horton.
Horton.
She is the computer on
Helen
the
Horton, here's a who.
Stromo.
Yeah. All right.
There's shut up.
Okay.
I'm gonna call you Stall Out Boy from now on.
Right, thank you. That'd be great. God, I just know there's some obvious ones I'm missing. They get so stupid in three. One, I've kind of...
Three's great. People piss on three all the time. I love it. It's a prison.
Right, and I can see the actors' faces, but I can't remember...
Prison Planet, man. It's one of my favorite backdrops is a prison planet. It's so cool.
Right. All right. Charles S. Dutton. I'm just kidding.
And the character he played?
Dutton.
Rock.
He played Dutton.
No, he did not. Is that wait? Does he get Dutton. A? He doesn't get a. You know, Mulligan.
He plays.
Really in this one. I mean, you know.
If this far in, I don't think you can give me a Mulligan. Not to mention, I'm pretty much out.
Right, I was gonna say I could give him a Mulligan. He's gonna just come up with another Sutton. I bet it's Sutton.
I meant
Charles D. Sutton.
Mutton. I meant Mutton.
I think I know his name.
Oh, his character's name?
Yeah.
It's something like Ben's.
It's short.
Bensley or something stupid or. Sally, Ralph.
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, I know you're not going to tell me. I've already guessed. My guess was Dutton.
That is all you got?
That's all I got, man.
That's what you get.
You know
that.
What that is? Dutton. Yeah, that's the wrong answer. I think his name is Ash, if I'm not incorrect.
Oh, no, this sounds right.
Ian Holm played Ash.
Oh, Ash
Charles
is the robot.
Dutton played Dylan. Ash was the robot. Yeah, Ian
his
Holm.
His name was Dylan?
Dylan. Dutton's character was Dylan.
Dylan, okay, that's the reason.
Was the cat called Jonesy?
I knew it was a D something.
The cat was called Jonesy. It's funny. That wasn't on my list, but I would have accepted it.
Oh, Jonesy. That would have been
yeah. Never go back for the cat. The other characters from the first movie could have said Lambert, Brett.
Lambert, the sheepish lion? He was
and,
in that
And Parker.
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 And then
wait, Parker.
Paul Reiser's character was Burke.
Burke!
Yep. Then there was Apone, Gorman, Apone. Drake, Frost, Spunkmeyer,
Spunkmeyer. Crow, Kowalski,
yeah,
Dietrich. I always thought Apone was Napalm when I first saw the movie. I always thought it was Napalm.
Oh, yeah, Napalm. Yeah,
it was Apone.
And cocooned colonist, also in the third in the second movie.
Oh, I didn't know we were going up. With
it was on my list, so I would have taken it. Dylan, Clemens, Andrews, Aaron. David Postlethwaite, played by Pete Postlethwaite, which I think is really funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
gave himself the same name.
Prison Planet three, right? Was that in three?
Prison Planet. Yep.
Yep.
Boggs, Rains.
We didn't even get to four. We didn't even
really get to four.
Oh my gosh! Why didn't it?
We can all remember actors, right? Winona Ryder, Ron
That's
Perlman,
yeah,
Dan Hedaya.
Would you have counted? What's his name? Bishop, but not as Bishop, but as the head of the corporation. I can't think of the name of the corporation.
Because it's Bishop too, and
no, I mean in the movie he plays a live dude, non robot, in three.
In the credits, well, in this description it says, is he the original human designer or is he an android? Bishop Two arrives at the end, so
it doesn't. So that's not canon, whether we know or not.
It's not. It's not clarified. At least in this list, it's not clarified. I always assumed it was the real designer human, but
so too, yeah. Wayland, mm-hmm. wait.
Oh, so that would be always the Prometheus,
whatever his name is,
era,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that would have been Prometheus. Yep.
Oh, that would.
Anyway,
yeah, dude.
All means the Kit London wins.
Woo, Kit London, you
happy for Kit
won.
London? Sad for me.
You know, she knows what horse to back. Well done. Now, all you got to do to collect these winnings is send me an email, scott@frogpants.com. That's scott@frogpants.com, and I will send you your stuff. Post haste. Congratulations and well done.
Thank you. And if you guys get a chance to play Nightmare Before Christmas Clue, it's super fun.
Oh, is it good?
And there's different rules.
Oh, I'll play that.
The characters have special abilities, and you can die and then this clue.
Whoa, no
way. Oh, that's cool. See, they did that with Harry Potter, too. Like, they made Harry Potter Clue. You get all these extra abilities and features and stuff like that. It's so much better. So I'll totally try Nightmare Before Christmas.
Heck
yeah. Yeah. I was close to winning. And if you get, you pull entry cards. And if there's, once there's seven Pumpkin King cards on the board, if you pull the eighth one, you die. And then the eighth one keeps getting shuffled in the deck. So I was close to winning and I died. I was like, no.
Oh, that's great. I love a card. I love when there's like a single rare card in a deck that F's everybody over. I think that's great. Yeah. Oh, there might be one of those in my new game, Rock Runners.
Wow. Mm.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations, Kit. And I look forward to your email. We'll get this stuff right out to you. Brian Dunaway, look at you.
Hey.
Helped her win.
I know. Look. Okay. So here's my weakness.
Go.
It is military based movies that call everybody by their last name. I disregard every single name they say, unless they're stupid like Tex or Junior or, you know, something stupid like that.
Or
and I'm like,
Junior.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. But if it's like Parker or, you know, something stupid, I'm not going to remember that.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I discard those.
The second movie's a lot easier to remember all those names for some reason, and I can't remember anybody in the first movie's last name except Ripley
and
Dallas.
I think the first one, I think they said the names more often.
You had the HUD, right? It was the HUD that had everybody's name with their little video camera.
That helped a lot.
Yeah, so you saw their names all the damn time.
I never even thought of that. Movie. That's probably what I'm doing. My brain is... But they also would yell at each other a lot. It's like, Hudson, stole that shit! Napalm,
gas,
I can't see
get
napalm.
Over here.
Napalm, come in, nope, napalm. Like, there was just like this constant yelling everybody's name all the time, and they didn't do that as much in the first or third, but you're just making me watch. I just want to go binge it all now. I love those movies. Gosh dang it.
Including the fourth one?
I love the fourth one. I love it all.
I like the fourth one.
I don't. I mean, I'm not going to say I love it.
I'm not
going to
dedicate love.
I don't even love three. I love two, and I really like one. Four and three, though, just are fine. They're fine. They have moments of greatness and some other, you know, it's fine. Proper alien movies need to come back. We need like a real return to form that isn't just this weird ethereal Prometheus stuff. Those are cool. They have their thing going, but it's not quite what we're looking for, is it? We want something more like Colonial Marines, like let's go to another planet and fight some shit and take on a bunch of aliens. Maybe it can't be done. Maybe we're done. Maybe the best is behind us. I don't know. But nonetheless.
I think the problem is, I'm going to agree with you, Scott, but I'll tell you the problem. Mm. And it's the problem I had.
They're doing a series. You know what? They've already answered this for us. They're making a series, and I'm stoked about it.
Yeah.
Noah Hawley's making it. It's going to be great.
Right.
So all of my problems will go away. Yeah.
I love the older movies, and I love them because they take their time with the characters. And it doesn't seem like we have time anymore for characters. Like, I was watching Godzilla versus King Kong last night, and I kept thinking, man, it's just like we don't have time for characters anymore. It's just like,
well, those movies don't,
too many special,
but you don't
effects.
Want them in that movie, though. You don't want characters.
Well, it's according to what you want. It's according to what you want, man.
Right.
I mean, if you want to make a straight up, you know, Godzilla remake, no, they never focused on that kind of stuff. But I mean, they also used to focus on, you know, basically wrestling moves. That was what the old Godzillas were. I was like, get up, Godzilla, get up. You can't let him beat you, man.
It was a bit
of
that.
Oh, he's down. He's down. Oh, he's back up.
Yeah. Well, this Kong versus Godzilla thing is as close as they've gotten to what I want, which is mindless, stupid robots.
That's
and
funny because
lizards fighting.
That's
what I want.
It was actually it was a little step down for me from King of Monsters, which is the last one, and I felt like, even though that one had problems, I felt like it had more purpose.
Well, I call it the Shia LaBeouf problem. Too many humans ruin
too
your Transformers.
Many humans. It doesn't have a human
problem.
It
ruins your Transformers movie, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So,
but man, if you like the old ones where the kids get to run around and, you know, have their own side adventure, you will like this one.
I enjoyed it. But I only enjoyed, like, every time there's too much talking, I'm like, all right, hurry up with your dumb story that I don't care about. Get back to this huge spectacle. That's what I want. I want this
right.
monkey.
It was a spectacle, man.
I want this monkey and this lizard fighting it out, and then I want the third giant metal lizard to come out and make things worse for everybody.
Dude, spoiler!
Oh, dude, you can't spoil a freaking Godzilla movie. I'm sorry. It's great. It's good fun.
What?
People should watch it. It's stupid and fun, and I loved it. All right. Brian Dunaway, you've been just a treat, and we hope you have a great week. And don't forget, you and I tomorrow, we got the Boop Show. I'm not telling you to remind you, but listeners, if you want to tune in and watch the Boop Show, you can, because we talk about video games, and I've got a real I got a real winner this week that I'm excited to talk about. We usually don't talk about games we don't like, so, you know, tune in because it's all good stuff. Brian, I don't know what you're playing. What are you playing this week? Do you remember?
I'm playing this. It ends up being it's called Narita Boy, and it is a Metroidvania type. I didn't even know it. I thought it was a hack and slash, but it's got a retro looking style to it. Just came out to the Xbox Game Pass.
That looks good
so far.
That
it's
looks
so
really
far.
Cool. It looks like Tron-ish.
Yes, it has it definitely has a Tron-ish feel to it. And you're going to be surprised what I compare it to tomorrow night on the Boop Show.
All right, 3:30 Mountain Time. Catch it live or check out the podcast afterwards. Brian Dunaway, have a good
no.
See I said, I knew he's gone. He can't hear me. See you, Brian.
I don't know what that sound was. That was weird. Yeah, he made his way out. All right. Well done. We're going to do one of these real fast. Hey, it's the news brought to you by.
Oh, love that sound. It's brought to you by, speaking of sound, Soundography. Brand new episode just went up this morning. Hammond and I listened to the entire catalog of Roxy Music. Yeah, Love is the Drug, Avalon, 8 Miles High, great cover of that song. So much stuff by Roxy Music. We didn't even really get too far into the Brian Ferry solo stuff because there's a lot of great stuff to just center on. It was a Patreon-supported episode. Big thanks to Tom, who's also a TMS listener. Go check it out this morning over there at soundography.com.
Very nice. First story of the day, maybe our only. Cows are being fitted with VR goggles to increase milk production. Burp, burp, burp.
This is the first step of the cow takeover.
Yep. The cowering of the country. Something like that. Oh my gosh. You hear that dog? She is so loud. She barks.
Oh, I can't hear. She barking?
Does, she'll, and she doesn't, she goes from 0 to 60 with her first bark. So if she thinks someone's at the door or she hears dogs outside or something, she immediately does this. Like that. That's no, like, you know, growl and lead up or anything. Just
right.
Straight to the business. Anyway, if you visit the Rus Moloko Dairy near a farm near Moscow in Russia, you may think you've arrived in a bizarre futuristic film set. Here, the cows supposedly roam around fitted with VR headsets.
VR headsets on cows. Okay.
That's what you want from your cow, a little VR business.
Is it looking at empty bowls of cereal, like dry cereal, and
helps spontaneously make milk come after that.
That's right, exactly.
The VR goggles aren't props for a film, however, they are specially made for these dairy cows to help bring them into a relaxed state in order to bring more milk, according to a press release. So it's just to calm them down. At least that's what they're supposed to be doing, according to the Moscow Ministry of Agriculture and Food. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue like FDA does, but whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the MMAF. It says, turns out there are some reasons to be skeptical. As many sources, including Interested Engineering, I don't know who that is, reported the pressing issue for declining milk production led experts in the IT world, as well as many industry leaders in milk production, to work together to find a high-tech solution. The solution was virtual reality. The cows watch a, quote, unique summer field simulation program. Okay, so that's how they get some beautiful, like, you know, the Windows XP, like the Windows
slow
XP
motion, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know what slow motion. It's just like straight up, you know, just a pretty scene. According to those guys, let's see, cows have poor depth perception. Creating a VR landscape the cows could navigate meant researchers had to take into account their higher perception of the color red, but weaker perception of all the blues and greens around them. They were made to fit the cows' heads. Oh, that must look... Are there photos of this? Hold on.
There are. This is interesting. So it's... This article is talking about how Vice reported on this in 2019, the original experiment for this.
Yeah.
But I think this is now they're expanding the VR headsets.
Yeah, just to make them because it's working, I guess.
Yeah.
Says here they were designed by some developers in a VR studio along with veterinarians. They did all this thing about structure of the cow's heads and how their eyes would work and that sort of thing. After wearing the headsets, experts reported that the cows displayed a decrease in anxiety and an increase in general mood of the herd. Today, the farm ranks as the top three largest milk producers in Russia, and it looks like it works. Everybody's making more milk. So I assume they're all self-contained and these aren't all wired to something somewhere.
Hard to tell. That photo... Yeah, I mean, the photo looks like it's self-contained.
Yeah.
It's a big ass.
It's so big.
Ass. I mean, obviously, it has to be a big ass pair of VR goggles. Yeah. The first photo makes it look like the long shot photo makes it look like there's a wire coming up off of that. But when you look at the other photo, that's just a wire that's going over the barn there.
There is some skepticism, I guess. According to this article, a bunch of people don't believe this is working. So they're asking the researchers to provide more data. Their only answer was, where is it? They're promising a further comprehensive study, and then that's all they've said. So basically nobody trusts Russians is what's happening there.
Right, right. Do you think we'll get that study? No, too much hassle.
Listen, we have headset on cow. That is all that matters. You just walk away, pretend you didn't see us.
You, like, see them? You see milk? They're giving the milk. You take the milk. There's plenty of milk, and it's because of the VR glasses.
Look. I have a whole bucket of milk.
It is because of VR glasses.
Give him his VR glasses.
All right. That'll do it for today's news. We'll save everything else for tomorrow. But now we got to take a break. Bill will be here after that, and we'll spend some time with Steven after that. So come on back after this song presented by Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, this is great. This is an artist named Scott Patton. And the first, when I was listening to this, before I saw the name, before I saw who it was, first thing I thought is this the Violent Femmes? This guy has a Violent Femmes kind of sound to him. Yeah. He totally does. I don't know why, but he does sound like Gordon Gano, lead vocalist for the Violent Femmes. This is the lead guitarist of a band called Chasing Colors. He's breaking out on his solo bit. His brand new album is called I Don't Want to Say Goodbye. This is the title track from his brand new album. Here is Scott Patton.
No one knows how we try. No one hears when we cry. Up to me, you know we would thrive. I don't want to say goodbye. Your spell. Without you is hell, and I get so high. I don't want to say goodbye.
That this facility has a number of areas inaccessible to the regular researchers.
What would you like me to say, Scott Johnson?
Hello, this is the Morning Stream. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
All right, we're back, everybody. Brian, that
once
song
again. Once again, Scott Patton, and yep. The song is I Don't Want to Say Goodbye.
Nice. We give you the full information here on the show. That's what we do.
That's right. We may not give you the full song, but we give you the full information.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. That's just for the live people.
Yeah, you live people, you don't get no music.
No.
In the chat room. That sounded just like the Violent Femmes. Har, har, har. All right. Hey, what do we got here? We got a little bit of this going on right here.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us from his fine studios in somewhere around Seattle. We're not going to dox him or anything. What are you kidding? I don't want people going over there to his place. But he's there, and he makes cool stuff, and he comes on the show on Mondays, and we talk about those cool things and how you might become a better maker your own selves. Hello, Bill, and welcome back.
Hello. Good to be back.
Also, happy birthday to you and your brother, Rob.
You.
Nice job. Aww. The twins turned yet another year older and wiser, and good job on that.
Thank you very much. Yes, yesterday was a wonderful celebration of life.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad that you're alive. I told you this on text, but you know, I'm glad you were born and you continue to live. And that's good.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So happy you continue to live.
Yeah, I want you to keep living. Man. Keep on living, dude. Anyway, welcome. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, we celebrated by eating pizza and playing Valheim. So
that seems like, I saw you on there. I saw you on there last night with a whole bunch of people play that game, obviously, on my list.
But, oh, yeah.
First name came up as Chinbeard. I'm like, oh, all right. That makes sense. He's still playing Valheim.
Yep.
Anyway, it's good to have you here. We're going to dive right in. Tell us what we are going to discuss this week in the world of the makers.
Sure. We've talked a little bit, and I've shared some videos about restoration as a way of making, right? Fixing something or restoring it to its previous glory of some kind. And there's a ton of really cool restoration videos over on YouTube and everywhere on the internet. There, I would say there is some form of restoration video for everyone, and I'm sure I've only scratched the surface.
It's almost
here are some
whole,
of the restoration videos I like.
It's almost its own genre over there, it feels like. Yeah.
And there's subgenres too, man. It's deep.
Yeah.
So tool restoration, always a good time. There's tons of tool restoration out there. People will take like an old wrench that's rusty and clean it up, or they'll also take a 150-year-old printing press and fix that up too, and then use it.
Ooh.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Vintage toys, old metal Tonka trucks.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so many Matchbox cars restorations out there. Old video game consoles. They're starting to age, let me tell you. And that gray plastic everyone used.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice, makes me feel old talking about old video game consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like the Nintendo Game Boy.
Right. Yeah, that old plastic gray is now a horrible yellow for everybody.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and they figured out how to fix it. They've all figured it out with hydrogen peroxide and UV light and some other stuff. They can fix it. It's really astonishing to see a yellow Super Nintendo returned to its former color. It's really cool.
I'll bet.
Vehicles. Oh my goodness. You could dip into so many holes. There's so many vehicle restorations. Watches, like mechanical watches.
Oh, sure.
Or even paintings, like artwork. You can watch people restore artwork. It's so satisfying to see the varnish come off and all the little, it's so careful with little Q-tips and everything. And then they put a new coat of varnish on it. It looks amazing. It's just, trust me, if you have a thing you're into, then there's probably someone making a video restoring that thing. And I recommend you go look for it.
Are there any like base rules? Like, let's say you've got an old Game Boy and you're like, man, this thing's gross. I got to do a bunch of acid from the batteries in there. There's like, all these other corrosive, whatever. Do you need the video or should you explore some and go, well, I know what to do. I'm going to dig in here and dig it out and clean this and clean that. And then, maybe you have to look up how to restore the original color of the casing or whatever. But the rest of it, couldn't you just sort of, start taking it apart and going for it? Or would you not recommend that?
From what I've seen, it's possible to purchase replacement parts for a lot of these old consoles. There are people making replacement buttons and screens and all sorts of stuff. Also, they made a lot of them. And they're not rare. So I would recommend if you're going to restore a Game Boy, right?
Yeah.
Buy a few of them. They're not expensive. And tinker. Have fun with it. Tear it apart. See what makes it tick.
Mm-hmm.
You could even, and there's a project I'm going to talk about in a second, but you could even buy several of them to extract enough good parts to make one good one. If you wanted to go with all original parts.
Because the goal isn't always that they're in perfectly functioning order. Sometimes it's just, I want this to look right, right?
Yeah, and I've seen that with a lot of the tool restoration. I mean, the tool restoration usually it ends up being functional in the end, but people will decide whether or not they want to restore it to look like the original and use all original parts, or they'll decide if they want to fancy it up a little bit, you know? Sometimes those old tools weren't perfectly chromed, but some of the people restoring them are like, nope, I'm going to shine it so it's perfectly reflective and mirror finish. There's a lot of options out there when it comes to restoration, which I think makes it super fun. Also, you have an opportunity to customize it too, kind of make it your own a little bit if you want. But most of the people I see doing the consoles, they try and make a functional machine that looks exactly like the original. That like seems to be the goal.
Yeah. I do like the ones where they try it, where they take something old and make it work, but also make it look like the newest version of that console, like taking an old PlayStation 1 and making it look like a PlayStation 5 or something along those lines. I'm trying to think of a real example, but
what if you took all the guts out of a PlayStation 1 and took all the guts out of a PlayStation 5 and put the PlayStation 1 guts in the 5?
Yeah, you could totally do that. I think you'd have to like take two PlayStation 1s and fit the guts in, because there's got to be a reason the PlayStation 5 is as massive as it is.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, we did a really cool restoration with my dad. When he was in his 20s, he had a 1960s Volvo P1800 sports car. And when he was in his 40s and I was in my teens, he wanted one of those cars. He wanted to restore it. So he went and found one pretty good one and a couple of okay ones to use as donor cars. And we completely rebuilt that car. Me and my twin brother mostly, and my dad. Our little brother helped a bit, but not. He wasn't as excited. My twin brother and I were of driving age, so we were very excited. Oh, yeah.
You cared by default. You were into it.
Oh, yeah. So we did everything. We took every single part off of the car until it was just a frame. We stripped the paint off of everything, off of the car, off of all of the parts, got rid of all the rust. We repainted everything. We had the car repainted. We had the engine rebuilt, the bumpers re-chromed, the leather seats reupholstered, and we assembled it all again using original parts. Which I wanted to put a CD player in it, but Dad was like, no, we're putting an original radio in it, even though it sucks.
Yeah, you got to make some concessions when working with a dad. Because dads want old school, man. They don't want new stuff.
That's true. And now that I'm almost 40, I get it as well. I totally understand.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. And he still has the car. He's had it for more than 20 years now, and it still looks and runs amazing. Yeah. And here's the fun thing. This is funny. Funny now, not funny at the time. But it was a great experience for a teenager. It was a lot of hard work. We learned a lot about mechanics and how cars work. We learned how to do everything the right way. We didn't hurry with this thing, which I think was really important. Now, I have a twin brother, and we were both working on this car, and we were both 16 or 17 years old at the time. And we were both fighting over who was going to get to take the car to the prom, right? Mm-hmm. It's a two-seater car. Can't bring four people. Only two people can go in this tiny little car. Joke was on us, though, because when the car was finished, just in time for the prom, by the way, car was finished, Dad had to go and get insurance out of it because it was an older car that we restored. He could get classic car insurance, which is really cheap because they expect you're not going to risk doing any funny business with your classic car.
You're going to drive it safely, and you're probably not going to drive it much.
Not much. You're going to keep it in the garage. It's never, ever.
Sure. You take it out for the occasional show you get invited to, and it's part of one of those street car shows or whatever, and then you put it nicely tucked away in your garage again. And
with a cover on it and everything, yeah.
Sure.
Now, the problem is that the insurance company knew that my dad had two teenage twin boys, and they made him sign something saying that in no uncertain terms would he ever let his teenage boys drive that car?
Yeah.
And he had to sign that before they would give him the cheap insurance. And my dad was like, I'm sorry, I'm not buying good insurance so that you can drive the car. So we weren't even allowed to drive it. Oh, neither of us took it to the prom.
Well, even that, I was going to say, if one of you got to take it to the prom, Then you go, all right, which one of you decided to roofie the other one and then pretend to be your brother? Because mm-hmm.
you just tell everybody you know that it was you driving. He tells everybody that he knows that it was him driving, and nobody's none the wiser.
Yeah.
No one will know. The photos all look the same. That's
yeah, right. Yep. No one's going
to
know.
Either way, we didn't get to drive it. I have since driven it, since I'm a grown-up now and I'm allowed to drive cars. and it's cool. It is really cool. I will say, it's a tiny little car. Your butt cheeks are about 6 inches off the ground, which means your forehead is bumper level with every other car out there, which is a little disconcerting, but it is still a really cool little car to drive around.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Stick shift. You have to put lead in the gas. Like, you have to add lead to it.
Oh my gosh, in the gas mix? Wow.
Yeah, you have a lead additive, because that's what cars used back then.
Yeah, those cars were leaded, man.
Oh,
leaded
yeah.
Because you used to be able to, I mean, up to a point, you could buy leaded gas still, and unleaded was still like this new fandangled thing, but not now. Like, you can't go just buy a gallon of leaded gas, as far as I know.
Right. Isn't it weird that it's still advertised that way, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like selling a new house and advertising it as asbestos-free, right?
Right.
That is really weird now that you say it. I went and got gas yesterday, and I'm like, wait a minute, unleaded. Of course it is. Just call it gas at this point.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like premium unleaded and whatever those other things you're getting ripped off are. Anyway,
ultra premium.
Well, that's awesome.
I only get it if it has the word ultra.
Well, I'm all about the restoration stuff. I'm not very good at it myself, but this is something my dad was really super into, and so it's kind of satisfying. I was just watching a video of somebody restoring a Corvette, and the first thing they did was pressure wash this thing. Man, I want a pressure washer so bad, just for no reason other than just to clean something like the cement or whatever. You know,
Dude, I bet there are vintage arcade cabinet restoration videos out there.
Oh, gotta be, right?
Oh, yeah.
I have a vintage arcade.
It's gotta be, yeah.
I have vintage arcade machines in this house. I should restore them, is what I should do. I have a Moon Cresta from the 80s, a sit-down cocktail model of a Moon Cresta that doesn't work. It powers on, but none of the electronics work anymore. But it's like this. It's just dirty and grimy, and there's like cigarette burns. And part of me is like, that's what gives it character, and I shouldn't restore it. But there's another part of me that wants to just tear that thing apart and find an extra 24 hours a day that I can spend doing it, which is the hard part for me.
And then have that experience where you sit down in that cabinet and it feels just like it did when you played it when you were young, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We had, my parents had a friend we would visit. I believe he lived in New Jersey. We would stop by every time whenever we were driving through. His name was Clint. He had an Asteroids cocktail cabinet in his house, like in his living room. It was always plugged in. Whenever we were visiting, my brothers and I were just like, we want to go play that. He has an arcade game in his house. It's so exciting. We'd go, is that a Simpsons game?
Yeah. Man, I found a video of somebody's restoring one of that old Simpsons co-op beat 'em up game.
Yeah, the one with four, right, the big wide one. It's kind of like the X-Men one, right?
Yes.
Super this, wide with all the...
And this joystick board, it has seen some stuff in its lifetime.
Oh my goodness, really? I think both of those cabinets were in the movie theater where I grew up.
Yeah.
It sounds very familiar. The X-Men,
specific ones.
Oh yeah, the X-Men one and the Simpsons.
They didn't have room. They actually had to take out one of their multiplex theaters to make room for both of those games.
Yeah, it's gigantic. So
yeah, you just
they're four player.
Bill, you just reminded me why I was so popular in junior high. Everybody wanted to come to our house because we had like eight of these in the garage.
And, it's so cool.
Yeah, they all thought, oh, that's the best house to be at. He's our best friend. No, they weren't really my friends. They just wanted to play Missile Command all night.
So. Well, I wasn't very good friends with Clint either. I just wanted to play his Asteroids machine.
Yeah, see? Somehow
he was also in his 40s.
Yeah.
So,
this game still works.
We didn't have a lot to talk about.
This is the cool thing. This guy's Simpsons cabinet looks like the board and the ROMs and stuff. Even the CRT still work. Oh.
There's no way that's really how big the screen was. That looks so tiny compared to the frame.
Pretty sure that's correct. But
wow.
It's the
big bezel.
We had such weird expectations back then of like, that seemed huge to us.
I know.
But really, it was like, what, a 14, 16, 17-inch CRT? And now it sounds ridiculous. But we were used to what we were used to, man. Yeah, all right. Well, this is great. Restoration Nation, baby. Everybody get out there and restore something. Bonus links this week. You got anything cool for our audience?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's a channel called Stuff Made Here. Excuse me. Stuff Made Here. It's really great. He makes all sorts of really crazy computer-controlled things, like CNC-type things. He made a CNC hair cutter. A little weird.
What?
He also made a CNC robot chainsaw. So if you look up Stuff Made Here, robot chainsaw.
Oh, to make, what?
Right? So it's to make wood carvings with a chainsaw. That's the thing people do. He's like, why not put a chainsaw on the end of a robotic arm and do the same thing?
This is a 3D printer that can kill you.
Absolutely. Yes. And he points it out several times.
Yeah.
Man, that's 100% a way to get a million views on your videos, to make a chainsaw robot arm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so easy. Why isn't everyone just
doing that? Yeah, why aren't we all just doing that?
I mean, I thought to do that.
Wow. Ooh, stand clear of that thing. Look at that swing
around. No kidding. Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. As always, having Bill on is enlightening, and we learn things. Bill, thanks for hanging out with us. Check out punishprops.com, everybody, and follow him on Twitter at chinbeard. Bill, have a great week.
Take it easy.
Bye now.
See ya.
Happy birthday.
It's all fun and games until this thing becomes self-aware. This is the leader of the robot uprising.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine sitting up on its big podium with its swinging arm going, telling everybody to kill the humans?
Watching the video of this thing cut that dog out of styrofoam, and it's just insane.
That's really cool.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, that made me in the mood to go tear those arcade machines up. I have two of them, and one is my dad's own construction. He built his own cabinets for a few years. That one I kind of don't want to harm. I want to just clean it. Mm-hmm. But the other one, the Mooncresta one, who cares, man? I could tear that thing to pieces. Freaking Mooncresta. What a game.
You know, exactly. Put a RetroPie in there. Play any game you want sitting down having a cocktail or a mocktail.
Yeah, or a mocktail. All right. Let's get... Steven in. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Been a bit. Haven't talked to him in, a week, I guess.
That's right.
Feels longer because he was gone the weeks, 2 weeks prior to that, but having him back will be great, and I'm going to play this right here.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Coming on to the program like he always does every Monday, most Mondays, we got Steven Schleicher joining us from MajorSpoilers.com. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, man. Hey, what do you know about the Last God series on DC Black Label? Are you familiar with it?
I am not.
Okay, so this is relatively new. Five issues so far on Infinite and more coming. It's freaking great. I'm going to just put a quick recommendation out of the ether here. If you like dark, hard fantasy, like D&D, combined with, I don't even know what to compare this to, but it's very much like a fantasy tale, magic and sorcery and warriors and all of that. It's not capes and cowls. It's not a superhero book at all. It's really bloody, so know that going in. It is part of Black Label, which is their imprint of, you know, slightly more edgy material. And
basically their Vertigo imprint.
Yeah. I'm absolutely freaking love it. It's great. Can't recommend it enough if you're into what I just described. And you want some of that in your life. The writing alone is worth it. It's written in this just great kind of dark fantasy kind of language, and it's just awesome. So check it out. It's up on DC rather. DC Infinite's app, or I guess in just regular old ass comic book form. And the art's really cool. It's all very not painterly, but like I don't know. You know how you can make like pastel look really cool on certain kind of colored paper. It's a lot of that, and it's just a really neat look. So it's very cool. It's called The Last God, and it's awesome. Anyway, Steven's here. He's Lord of all he surveys, and we're going to spend some time with him. Steven, let's talk about DC shelves. A couple of movies. They decided, no, we're not doing these.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of talk and a lot of positive things coming out of DC Films when Ava DuVernay was announced to be writing the New Gods movie, which is the Jack Kirby stuff that was all throughout the Justice League movie, and also The Trench with James Wan. Everybody was very excited about that. It's not really quite a Aquaman sequel, but it certainly looked at those creatures that live down in that section. And then suddenly DC said, no, we're not going to move forward with those projects. And there's no real reason why, except, you know, the DC people have just said, well, we've decided that we're not moving ahead with that. You know, we just had a big old Zack Snyder thing hit the HBO Maxes with everybody freaking out about that. And now there's a new campaign to restore the Snyderverse as opposed to moving on with new things. And DC said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, no, we're not moving forward with the Snyderverse. We're going to be doing our own thing. And then a week later, they're like, yeah, we're going to cancel these two projects, which... Mm-hmm. You know, Tom King, Ava DuVernay working on New Gods would be an incredible piece. Maybe DC or maybe DC Films doesn't see the Eternals doing that well. But if you think the Eternals is out there, the New Gods is incredible storytelling from Jack Kirby. And I would encourage everybody to go check out his original run. The New Gods originally appear in Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. Because when Jack Kirby came back to DC, they were like, Jack, we'll let you do anything you want. He's like, great, give me a Jimmy Olsen and let me do whatever I want there. And then, you know, within, I want to say like 5 or 6 issues, the New Gods were all over the place.
So why don't they, is it possible that they're just retracting from a film and saying instead, maybe we could work this as a series, maybe. Maybe that's what they're thinking. Put it on HBO Max. You know what I mean?
I mean, that would be logical as well. I mean, New Gods certainly opens itself up to serialized epic storytelling.
Mm-hmm. I'd be into it. This comes right around the same time that news dropped of Disney Plus canceling the Right Stuff, which now is, I guess, up for auction to go somewhere else. It could end up getting picked up by a different streaming service, but they were making a Right Stuff series. I assume based on the same material that the movie The Right Stuff was based on, which mm-hmm. I haven't seen in 30 years or something. But anyway, little cancellations here and there, kind of across the board.
I guess the one thing that I would probably caution everybody is when you hear these things about, you know, so-and-so has been attached to this picture or DC is moving ahead with this picture, never assume that it's all a done deal until film starts rolling.
Yeah.
You know, until they announce the first day of production on something. And even then, there have been movies that have been shot and sat on the shelf for years before they suddenly said, oh, wait a minute. Remember that movie, The House? That's got that Thor guy in it. Let's release that into theaters quick. Mm-hmm. That movie sat on the shelves for a couple of years before they finally released it. So anytime you see any movie news about this project is happening or this is going on, just always remember until they start shooting, there's a good chance it's just going to fold up.
So much stuff does. Like, so, it's just there's so much money at stake. They don't just there's no automatic on any of this.
Nope.
Unless they've got like pure willpower for things like, you know, Mandalorian season 3, guaranteed it's happening. No way you're getting around that. But
I mean, have they started shooting on that?
That's a good point. They haven't, as far as I know, they haven't. So maybe that's a bad example, but
yeah,
you know, there's going to be a season 3.
Yeah,
there will be. That thing was too
Disney
popular.
Plus's biggest draw. Like,
oh yeah, certainly. I mean, I'm saying, yes, it's a great probability that it is, but it's not 100% guaranteed because they haven't begun production.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point. So we'll see how that goes. I always get bummed when things get canceled, but there's not much to read into it other than, you know, you'll have to wait longer for New Gods. And then you got to be, sometimes things are miraculous. Like how the Doom Patrol even exists in live action form is beyond me. Like, who in their right mind thought that was a good idea? And it turns out it was a great idea. Guardians of the Galaxy, same thing. It's like, I cannot believe you guys made this and made it so great. So, you know, as often as something gets canceled, there are those that squeak in, and we should be glad for what we have is what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah, well, keep in mind with Doom Patrol and Titans and those, it was, we need something to fill this streaming service. So let's find some projects that we think are pretty good and move forward with those. So that's the only reason why those got moved ahead is because they needed a slot to fill.
Well, it's another day, which means it's another record-breaking sell of Superman Action Comics number 1.
This one's really fascinating. This was a 3.0 CGC graded, which this is one where a company verifies it, they seal it up in plastic, and then they sell it.
3.0 is not very good.
No, it's not. But here's the thing. Of the Superman number 1 issues, there are not very many comics that are graded higher than 3.0 that are in circulation.
Right.
There's a couple of 8.0s. But those nobody is selling their 8.0 of Superman. Mm-hmm. And so the 3.0 is pretty good deal. If you can find it, again, we're talking about a comic from 1940 that, you know, people still find worth and value in. It's not the first appearance of Superman. It kind of retells a lot of the stuff that was already in Action Comics number 1. But somebody thought that, hey, let me spend $310,000 on this thing at auction a couple of weeks ago. One thing that we have noticed, and I think Justin mentioned it, oh, probably a month or so ago, that during COVID, there has been a huge boom in collectibles. Yeah. I think he specifically talks about trading cards and baseball cards and those kinds of things. But even comic book art, I have been tracking this for a year. There have been astronomical sale after astronomical sale on these kinds of things, because I think people are looking to not really hedge their bets, but have something that they can fall back on, because these prices just keep going up each time these things hit the market.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I was seeing so many things about the Marvel Masterpiece trading cards, the old, mm-hmm. even the pre-Masterpiece ones that just had like regular comic style art of all yep. the characters tripling in price over the previous year. And I've got
I had that whole collection of those cards.
Yeah.
Spent 60 bucks on it back in whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then when I was moving from Atlanta to California, I was like, I really don't need these anymore. And I think I just tossed them in the trash.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd be happier today if you hadn't, I guess.
Yeah, I would be. So, you know, the good thing is, you know, definitely a comic that you go buy today. Scott goes and finally decides to buy, what is it, the God or whatever, the new God or whatever the book that you were just talking about a minute ago.
The Last God, yeah.
The Last God. You go and buy that physical version of that. It's not going to be worth $310,000 in 20 years because there's so many of those being made.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as we look and we see that people are just throwing things away and the availability gets less and less, that's where the value comes in. So if you're looking into doing anything with comic books, my big suggestions would be try to buy original art pages if you can. Those can get very, very pricey very, very quickly. If you find something, I was lucky enough to get a whole bunch of Batman the Animated Series stuff from back in the day, back in the early 2000s. Mm. And that stuff has probably tripled in price.
Yeah.
But this is stuff that you can hold on to. You can hang it. It looks good in a frame. But then, you know, you can turn around and sell that if you need to for a pretty good price. Don't be surprised if you're like, oh, I want to go and get the latest Superman page or whatever. If you can get those, don't be surprised if those sell for like $2,000 to $5,000 for those.
Total side note here, but had a conversation with somebody about NFTs, which have come up on the show a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And Daily Tech News Show's certainly done a lot of that as well, where I've talked to Tom about it. And I'm still sort of waffling on all sorts of aspects of it, the good and the bad and the ugly in that regard. But NFTs at the end of the day, and this description just totally landed with me, it's basically digital trading cards. Like that's what it is. So instead of looking at it as, you know, blockchain driven, forget about all that for a second and just imagine the things that you're into collecting, whatever they may be, baseball cards, whatever. Imagine if those were verifiable, but just digital versions of a thing. That's what this is. It's people mm-hmm. placing value on stuff, high or low. More people can sell things because that's, you know, welcome to the internet.
Right.
So, you know, but the rarefiedness or the availability of something still matters as part of this equation. There's value in being the collector who has the collection. Like, that's what it is. That's totally it.
Yeah, so also keep in mind that, yes, a lot of it has to do with rarity. But the other thing that goes into all of this price is what do people value it? So if people see NFTs as something that have value and they're willing to pay, you know, $20 more for a Scott Johnson NFT original than the person who bought it, then that's where the value increases. But if someone is like, Scott Johnson, I don't know, the guy's trying to sell it for $20 and the guy's like, I'll buy it for $5 and the guy sells it for $5, then it's only worth $5.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a lot of other back and forth about that we're not getting into here. And chat rooms mm-hmm. like quick to point out there's lots of scammy angles on this right now. And there absolutely is. It's why I haven't dabbled. I'm not getting into this until I know what the hell I'm doing. But it's all very pyramidy and weird right now. But the essence of it is, the thing that drives people to spend their Ethereum is digital trading cards. It's kind of what it is.
No, I mean, it is, really. I mean, remember when, what was his name? Martin Shkreli bought that Wu-Tang album that was the only thing that was available. Yeah. It's essentially the same thing as that.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, there's obviously
I think you should do a morning stream show that is an NFT that you sell, and nobody else can listen to it except for the person who has that NFT audio file.
Well, and that's the problem. Is
it turns out to be Martin Shkreli, though.
Did you get your $10,000?
The problem is there's not.
Did the planet get a little warmer?
This is the problem, though. Inherent in that technology is that you can copy it infinitely. You don't have ownership of the original, but you can still copy it. So anybody, if we went and did this, for example, where's a good sound file? Let's see here. I don't know. I can't find anything. How about this?
Utah Connection.
Okay, let's say that I NFT'd that thing. It's the original, you guys. MP3. Dibba-dibba-doo. Everybody can still copy it and use it, including us. So NFTs are weird. Yeah. It's weird.
We were just looking at an image of this Superman cover just a minute ago that went for $310,000. I mean, we can still look at it. We can still go online into comic book archives where people have put up the digital version of that issue so that you can go and read all that if you want.
Yeah,
but the physical copy is still that original thing.
Yeah, you're right. Except that one is a literal physical original, whereas a digital file doesn't have that quality or that.
It doesn't, right. And the more copies you make of it, doesn't degrade.
It doesn't degrade
or change anything, or technically it doesn't change the value of the original, which you think it would, but it's a weird thing.
It really does boil down to what are people willing to pay for? Where's the value in it that they see?
Right. Right. By the way, the digital copy of... See, this is why this is weird. If you start to...
It's 99 cents.
If your brain goes too deep into it, you're going to start to find weird contradictions in all this. Because, for example, let's just say I had an Action Comics number one that was in really mint condition. I could get millions for that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At least
3 million.
If I hop onto DC Infinite's app, they have a copy of that issue in pristine, perfect, restored, beautiful digital version of that thing. Could they NFT that, and what would that go for? And it wouldn't be anywhere near the physical one, would it? Like, no way it would go for that much money. I don't think. I don't know. It's just so weird to me.
It's the same thing could be said, not just NFTs, but any cryptocurrency.
Yeah, it's all screwy. Anyway, whatever. We're getting ready for our cyberpunk future. Everybody should get ready and get your implants. I mean,
I'm not the one to speak as an expert on this, but you know, we've lived in a cashless society for years, and we're just living on ones and zeros from one, you know, transaction to the next.
100%. Yeah. Like we went through a drive up the other day. I don't even remember what it was. Something dumb like Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
And they went, Kim had pulled out a 20 or something, and they went, "Oh, we don't take cash." And it's not just a COVID thing. They were just like, "We don't have ways of, we can't give you change. We cannot transact this thing today."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was just that day.
On the flip side of that, we did go to a Taco Bell where they're like, our cards are down right now, and so we're only accepting people were just peeling out and leaving because they couldn't buy anything.
Well, at the end of the day, though, that piece of paper with a 20 on it is just a piece of paper with a 20 on it. Like, we just have all agreed that we're cool with it. And
when we got off the gold standard, that changed.
Yeah. And the minute we all start, if you start thinking about it too hard, you're going to come out disappointed. Don't think about it too hard, everybody. All right. Well, it's always nice to talk to you, and I hope your Superman number one NFT sells for a lot of money.
I wish I had a Superman number one physical copy.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? That'd be cool.
I bet one of our listeners has a Superman number one, even if it's a 1.0 copy. Yeah. I mean, there were times. It would not surprise me at a 1.0 copy. You know, if you are restoring older houses, especially houses pre-World War II, pay attention to when you open up the walls. Because oftentimes they would just throw newspapers or magazines or comic books inside those walls for insulation. Mm-hmm. And there have been people that have found Action Comics, first appearance of Batman and Detective Comics just in the walls. Yes, they're a 1.0 version, but, you know, people find these in the walls just doing the restoration. So there's a chance that somebody has a copy of that somewhere.
Somebody someplace. Well, yeah, because you come on here every 3 months and tell me about a new record selling one. So I know they're out there. It's just a matter of people finding them or parting them, or some uncle who, you know, hoards them finally died and nephew's like, "Dude, we're getting rid of this."
Yeah, that's how the Mile High collection came to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So Good luck, Mile High people. Steven, always a pleasure. And a tiny note here. I don't know how many people know this, but you run this rad network of cool shows and content, and your site alone is worth it. No, this stuff's great. I'm telling you, it's my go-to for comics. I love talking to Steven about comics. If you want to go get more, of course, Major Spoilers is the place to go. Is there anything in particular going on right now that you'd like people to know?
Well, let me throw a compliment back to the Johnson family. People who are patrons over at our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers, if they are at the proper level, we send them art every month. We send them a new little postcard, original art. Maybe it's kind of like an NFT because we only print up as many as there are patrons. But one Carter Johnson has been doing the art for us for the last couple of months, and she has been doing a wonderful job. Last month, it was a Vision and Wanda piece. And this month, she has done a really cute Falcon and Winter Soldier piece. And those will be going out in the next couple of weeks. So if you want some Carter Johnson art in your mailbox, then you can get some when you become a patron over at our Patreon page.
Yeah, it's some of my favorite stuff she's done recently. And you can totally get that there. So go check it out. That's going to do it. Steven, have a fantastic day. Any advice? Oh, hydrated. That's right. We need to stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated.
All right, bye. Stay hydrated.
Thanks, Steven.
All right. Very well done. Guys, we're 25 minutes away from the launch of Rock Runners.
Woo, boy.
Holy cow.
Yep. You're going to like it. Get it. Be the number one space rock runner in space. You tell the system that you should get all the contracts and get all the rocks because you are the best and deserve all the space credits. Yeah, that's right. That's all game talk from the game. Go check it out. That'll be up soon. All right. Let's do this here mashup we got, Brian. It's a mashup.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. That's what we call them. It's from Jamie.
A mash up.
Yep, the mash up. And Jamie does these. He does incredible work on them. And today's no different, so we're going to play this. I'm trying to get Jamie on here. We're going to figure out a way to do this. Maybe this Thursday's a good one. I don't know. Hmm. But we're going to bring Jamie on and just chat. We haven't had a chance to do that. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah.
I either keep forgetting or whatever. Cool. We should get him on here and just talk about his process, how this stuff comes to be, why these are the funniest things ever, or why he titles them things like Cunning Air Lingus, like this one.
I suspect.
Yeah,
I know.
You may have an idea? Okay, I might as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, here it is. Enjoy. This smells like a vagina.
Yeah, she didn't even say it was her vagina at first, right?
A vagina, not the vagina.
I mean, how many has Gwyneth Paltrow smelled?
I don't want to know.
I'm a cat.
Hi, kitty.
And I sleep right there.
Hey, kitty, why are you so shitty?
They have three sensitive areas. They show Brian's rear teeth, his crotch, and his eyeball. All up on photos up there. Don't touch my sensitive
in that order.
Yeah, yes. In that order. Teeth, crotch, eyeball. Nailed it.
Yes.
So I'm going to start doing pigs. So that's cool. I like a pig. You like a good pig? I like a good pig.
I do like a good pig.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
It's the dude from Father Ted, but not Father Ted.
Oh, the other guy.
The
guy that's trying to be, he's like the young vicar trying to learn the ropes.
Alden. The actor name is Alden something. Alden O'Flaherty.
Alden O'Flaherty.
Lift up the flaps because it might have.
Sounds like my wedding night.
Uh-huh. Lift up the flaps. Yeah. Let me test you. The sun is shining.
Also remember. In my butthole. No, that's not it.
Perfect. Good. Good. All right. Good.
I want to F you like barbecued chicken or whatever.
I want to F you in my back of my truck. I want to take you to meet my mother.
There you go. That's cool.
You don't need the Millennium Falcon, you can just take the hour and a half boat ride from Port McGee.
There won't be any off-green milk for you, but I promise you might have to pee, and there's nowhere to do that either. Good luck.
That's right. Exactly.
I'm Barks at Moon. What's your name? Oh, I'm Bird with Feathers. And your name?
Espera Oscar de Corti. I had that 3D scan of me done at Denver Comic Con that I turned into a 3D print, and it gave me a big unit.
Oh, right, and you had the wiener.
Well, yeah. Gave me a bigger.
Slightly. Only.
Slightly.
Barely
bigger.
Discernibly larger.
Yeah.
I can bring
it's not
back.
A bad idea. Because then I just, you know, play around with it in my hands, and I'm completely unaware of everything that's going to get edited out for Jamie.
What's your carrier of choice? Who are you going to fly over there?
It's looking like Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus?
Go ahead.
What? That's a thing?
It's Aer Lingus.
What is Aer Lingus? I've never heard
they're
of that airline.
Cunning, they're a very cunning airline provider. Yeah. And
here it's a stimulating ride, though.
That's right.
That's right. right. It's your freaking airline you got to use for yes. Ireland.
Yeah, much to Tina's chagrin, we are not flying Aer Lingus.
Oh.
I bought our tickets this weekend. We are flying British Airways.
Whoa.
Which is great. We flew to London on British Airways back in 1998, 1999. And one of the best flying experiences we've ever had. Like, great service, clean planes. It's just fantastic. Yeah,
they are known for good stuff. Do they oppress the Irish plane? The Irish airline?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. For years, like for hundreds of years, they are very oppressive toward Irish That's airlines. Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, the Aer Lingus, there's like a dividing line, Catholics in the front of the plane, Protestants in the back of the plane.
Gotcha.
And
an Aer Lingus will occasionally leave a bomb somewhere, that sort of thing.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, we got it all figured out. All right, well, That was great, Jamie, as always. Thank you for your hard work and efforts in bringing us these fantastic mashups. That's going to do it for today's show. A quick reminder that Rock Runners is going up in just 20 minutes or so. You can find out all you need to know at frogpants.com/rockrunners or the Kickstarter will be live and I'll be posting that on Twitter and all that other stuff. So do check it out if you're interested. It's going to be a really, really fun game. We tested the hell out of it, played it a ton. Everybody who played it loved it. I tried to play it with people who don't necessarily just want to give me rave reviews because they're friends or family. I gave copies of people who
I noticed
whoever yeah and that way they can decide on their own unbiased whether they like it or not, and all the word back was positive, so I feel pretty good about it, and I'm excited to get it in people's hands. So that'll be about 20 minutes from now. Details at frogpants.com/rockrunners. Okay, Brian.
Okay, Scott.
Yeah, do you have anything else? Are you good? You don't have anything?
I'm good. Yeah, we got our we're recording our next to last episode of America's Next Top Podcaster tonight. Mm-hmm. I know the feeds are behind because there's some amazing production work that Hammond and Bobby have to do to that show to make it ready for you guys. But we're coming close to the end of recording time with ANTP, and I'm excited.
I got sent something from Bobby for you.
You did. You got links for the
No. This is something different, separate.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, let me see if I can find this real quick. Yep, here it is. I'm going to play it for you. He said,
"Okay.
I'm just going to leave this sound of Brian laughing during ATP right here," he says. "I'm not saying you should do anything with it, but you know, if it ended up on TMS one day ... he says.
Yeah, right.
So here it I've is. Heard this. Enjoy. That's a pretty good laugh. Yeah, I'll use that for stuff. Anyway, thanks, Bobby, for thinking of us.
Yes.
All right. Let's.
I don't even remember the context of what made me throw that laugh out. But,
I don't either. He didn't even give any, but hey, do I need any? No, is the answer.
I'm trying to sound like Al Pacino or Rock Out of Podcasting. I don't know what the deal was.
It's pretty good.
All right. So, something that I enjoy doing every once in a while when I don't have new requests, hint hint, if you've got a birthday or an anniversary in April you want to celebrate with a cover on the show, please let me know. Email or just go to frogpants.com/TMS. You'll find the form to do requests right there.
Yeah,
we got a lot of openings here in April, so do something about it.
Oh, happy birthday to my daughter today. I was gonna do a whole thing and I forgot.
Which one?
Taylor, my oldest. She just turned oh my gosh, she turns 27 today.
Wow. Oh, my God.
What the hell, dude? No, that's not right. Hold on. 26? 27. 27. That's bananas. All right. Anyway, sorry. I hadn't quite dealt with that yet.
That's well, nuts. You know, she should have sent in a request. Her loss.
Yeah.
But Leslie Victorine, Logan's mom Leslie, sent in an email 1 year ago saying, oh, you should play this on any Monday morning coming up in the near future when you don't have a specific request, because Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is doing this new thing where during this little short pandemic that we're going to go through, he's releasing new covers every Monday.
Mm.
And has it only been a year? Feels like a decade since Billy Joe Armstrong did that. Mm. Here's what's cool. He did this for several months, three months maybe, and then he put out an album collecting all of those covers, and it's so good. It was called No Fun Mondays, and One of the first covers he did, the third cover he did, as a matter of fact, was this one, a cover of the song that was performed by the Bengals, but written by a guy named Christopher. We all know now that that was Prince. Here is the song Manic Monday by Billy Joe Armstrong.
Very nice. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Please come back then, won't you? Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a great sheet, Neb Jola and his men.